Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 713. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is on the floor over by me. Pretty close. As he does have currently a slightly black paw. You know, he likes to be right by my side. And, you know, I've been working on the walls of above my cabinets in the kitchen, as I've been talking about now for quite a while. I think I started that back in February. Trying to do the hexagon pattern from The Shining. And, I'm painting the black. I got all the taping finally done for the black. It took for fucking ever. I was doing, you know, sitting up there with a... Well, I sat for the very first part where it was near my fridge. Then I was just, like, contorting my body, like, standing on top of the countertops trying to tape all that stuff. And, I finished taping it Thursday night, pretty much. But then yesterday, this is Saturday as I'm recording, Friday night, I had to fix a couple of spots where I was afraid that had I painted over it, because when I first started, I was not that good at taping it, and I had a lot of tape that I thought if I put the roller over that it was just going to end up, you know, peeling that tape up and then getting black all under it. So I had to fix a couple of spots. I probably should have fixed more than what I did. Because I know there's definitely spots. I did, you know, start painting the black. And last night, I just put on a second coat today. I think I'm going to put a third, and that should do her. But I'm pretty sure there's at least several spots where I did get black on the red, like underneath the tape. But the second coat I put on today, Fox, again, likes to... Agent Fox Mulder likes to be right by my side. And whenever I'm doing stuff, he wants to know, what are you doing, man? What are you doing, homie? You're not playing with me. What's up? And so he jumped on the counter, as he does, while I was painting. And I saw him do it. And I thought maybe he'd stay away from the paint can. Usually, like, he can smell the paint and won't go near it. But this time he went right for the paint can, and then he put his paw right on the paint can lid. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I grabbed him at least right away. And then I tried scrubbing it off his paw, which he was not happy about. There's still a little bit of black on his paw, but I got it to where at least it's not rubbing off. I imagine it'll just come off eventually. But it's like, damn, it's like, I mean, I cleaned it off right away, but that black's hard to get off. But at least it didn't track it everywhere, you know. Hopefully he doesn't lick it too much that it comes off just from, like, walking. I tried my best to get it off. But that, I mean, there's a tiny little bit left on his paw. But after that, he did not want any part of being on the countertop, so I was able to finish painting. I felt bad about it. I don't want to freak out on the guy, you know. Scold him too much. You know, I love the guy. I can't have him, like, jumping in the paint. That's no fucking good. He can't be licking that shit. That's toxic stuff for him. Man, come on now. Don't be licking the paint, Fox.
Don't be doing it.
He's now laying right behind me. So I got black now on the walls. I'm nervous about peeling that tape up, because that's going to be to see how bad I fucked it up. I know there's areas I will have to touch up. And I was pretty, the first coat I did, I was not very careful with the bottom of the wall, which there's a lip underneath, like where it connects to the cabinets, you know? And I put the roller a little bit on the black, and I'm going to have to repaint over that because it's all red underneath there, and I had to get some black on there. That won't be that hard to cover up. I'll just, you know, I guess use a paintbrush. I'll have to cover it with the primer a little bit, and then it's a pretty big area that we're going to have to fix. I won't do that, I imagine, until I start doing the orange, though, because I imagine I'm going to probably just get some orange on there, too, so then I'll just have to get in under there with the paintbrush. And, although maybe I did hit that with a roller, like a really thin, small, thin roller. Real tiny roller is I'm popping a little bit. I can never seem to get mic placement very good. I think this mic stand kind of sucks, honestly. It does make me nervous, the thing about pulling the tape. But, you know, I'm trying to do one thing at a time. I know that I will have to fix things. Hopefully, like the red hexagons in the middle, that I didn't get too many spots there where I got black on it. I know there's at least like a couple spots where I did get some. There was one area where I tried to just like wipe it off with my finger, where I accidentally pulled the tape up while I was rolling it. This is going to be hard to cover the black that's on the red. You know, I might end up having to probably have to touch it up with a little bit of primer first, then put red back over it. It'll be a little tricky. So as long as there's not like massive amounts of it. But I know in the end I'm going to have to go in there with some real fine paintbrushes and touch up quite a bit of shit. I mean, that's just, I knew that coming out of the gate. And, I'm kind of excited to pull the tape to see like the pattern where it's two colors. I mean, I guess it was two colors before. It was white and red. The white's not supposed to be there though, but I'll get more of a sense of, you know, what the finished product is going to look like once I pull that tape and to see just how good my lines really were. I'm hoping that I didn't get a whole lot of bleed underneath the tape. Again, I know there's a couple of spots where I definitely got black underneath and into the red, but I'm hoping that there's just not much, that I didn't push too hard when I was using a roller, and that I didn't like get too much bleed under there. I know there's probably going to be some. It's like, fuck. There could be a lot of touching up to do. So that makes me a little nervous. And, you know, if I did like bleed under a good chunk of it and have to touch that up, I think I might just do the orange a little bit differently. I may try to do a coat. Well, first I'm going to put primer on there, of course. Because there's still lines where I've got the orange. There's pencil lines that are really dark and that I will definitely have to cover with primer to get that to where I can paint over it and you won't see the lines. So I will have to do that. And I don't know. We'll see what happens with the black. If there is, again, a lot of bleed, I might just do a little bit of taping, not tape as much, nearly as much as I did with the black, and then just try like a foam brush. So I got a few foam brushes and try that out instead of doing the roller. It's where I don't have to tape much. Because taping that took for fucking ever. And if I fucked up a lot with the bleeding underneath, there's really not a whole lot of point in doing that if I got to go back and touch it up anyway with the paintbrush. So I might as well just fucking use a paintbrush. I'm thinking my brush strokes will really show up in that orange, though. If I was going to use a paintbrush, it probably would have been made more sense, I think, with the black. I don't know. I'll find out. As I am going to go meet up with Shelly Nabina, and we're taking out my mother for her birthday, which was last Tuesday. And we're going to K-Pot restaurant. I've never been there. They say it's really good, and we are going to go. Well, actually, we're going to a movie first. We're going to B&B Wildwood, I believe. And we're hitting up there wasn't a whole lot of options for the movies this weekend. My mom said she just wanted like a dinner and a movie. So, we're going to go to the B&B Wildwood and see the Bob Odenkirk movie, Normal. My mother, of course, watched Better Call Saul. And she really enjoyed that, so I figured, she also watched Breaking Bad, of course. And so, you want to watch the new Bob Odenkirk movie, so we're going to check that out and then get some dinner. And but before then, I got some time. I'm not going to leave here till 1, so it's 10:24 in the morning right now. So I figure I got time to knock out this podcast. Take a shower. Well, I'll wait to take a shower because I want to get one more coat of, put my final coat of paint up, and then I'll probably take a shower. And if I still have enough time, maybe I'll attempt to peel some of that paint or tape up and see what the damage is. Either way, I'm going to finish painting today. And then possibly get the tape off the walls. But again, we'll see what, I'm going to be gone for several hours with the movie and food. Don't know when I'll be back. So, but in the next couple, we're less than 24 hours away from me having two colors officially on the wall. Well, I guess technically I do have two colors on the wall. I don't know how great they are at the moment. I've painted enough black up there. The first coat didn't coat that well, that's for sure. The second coat seemed to coat really well. Oh, I got a book in the mail. I'm going to have to pause for a second. I realized I just got a delivery, and I'll be right back. And I'm back. That was an eternity, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought I heard when the mail was delivered earlier. I thought it sounded like they dropped something off in front of my door, but I looked outside the door and I didn't see it, anything. And I just saw an email saying that Amazon, that I had gotten a delivery. I had ordered a Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the book, because I'm a big fan of Comedy Bang Bang. I've been listening to that for many, many years. I happened to see I knew about this book because, of course, I listened to the podcast, and it was only for $9 on Amazon. I was like, oh, fuck, $9. I got to get it. I didn't know it was that cheap, but I had to get it. I love me some Comedy Bang Bang. So then I just got it in the mail. And they delivered it, but they put it on, not in front of my door. They laid it on top of the brick, right to the left, or to the left of my door, when you walk out. And it was kind of hidden. And I was like, oh, hey, shit. And somehow I missed that earlier. I opened the door, and I just didn't see it. But then I saw the email. I was like, oh, shit, it is down there. So it's pretty exciting. Surprise! I only got it for $9. As a classic fucking podcast, much better podcast than this one. I can read the back of it real quick. From the comedic geniuses who created the Comedy Bang Bang podcast comes a book that brings the chaotic, hilarious, and outrageous characters of the pod to the page. Featuring brand new anecdotes and opinions from the show's wild cast of reoccurring characters, the book includes essays, lists, plays, and four-color illustrations throughout to bring the satirical world of the show to life. Featuring contributions from Bobby Moynihan, Paul F. Tompkins, Benny Schwartz, Mary Holland, Andy Daly, I fucking love Andy Daly, Ego Nwodum, Lauren Lapkus, Jason Manzoukas, and many more. Let's hear what Scott Aukerman, the host of Comedy Bang Bang's good friend John Hamm, has to say about it. Comedy Bang Bang is to podcasts what roasted turkey is to lunch meat. This book is to reading what underpants are to daydreams. What does Miss Gillian Jacobs have to say here? Scott has the most interesting guests, including a guy named Paul F. Tompkins. I've never met him, but everyone says we'd really get along. Which is funny because he's played many characters that end up... I believe there was more than one character that got married to Gillian on the show. Where he was Gary Marshall. Gary Marshall. Which I believe did get married to Gillian on the show. That is Paul F. Tompkins playing Gary Marshall. Not Gary Marshall. But he was also Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke. And he may or may not have gotten also married to Gillian. Or there was, again, Paul F. Tompkins playing Alan Thicke. Oh, great podcast, though. Great podcast. It looks like a well-made book. Like the artwork and such in here. And hell yeah. Fun fact, they're going on tour and will be in St. Louis at the Pageant. And I thought about that. It'd be cool to go see, but I already paid for tickets to go see Marin. Well, I'll be doing that with Shelley. He's Mark Marin, that is the comedian. Former podcaster. And, of course, from WTF, the podcast. And, yeah, we'll be seeing them in September. And, yeah, I'm trying to cut back on spending, so I don't want to... Also, Comedy Bang Bang 1, I think, is also on a Sunday, where the Marin is on a Saturday. So I feel like it'd be easier for me to go see a Marin, whereas I don't need to worry about taking, like, the day off afterwards or anything. So that's going to be fun to look forward to. But back to my kitchen, I guess, working on my downstairs. The paint is... Yeah, it's close to being done as far as the black is concerned. The orange, don't know how that's going to work out. I'll cross that bridge when I get there. I'll find out within like 24 hours what kind of damage I'm, what I'm looking at, how much of a pain in the ass is this going to be. Which, seeing how much of a pain in the ass it was to like tape for the black and just knowing what I had to put in to get to where I'm at currently... I'm expecting it to be a huge pain in the ass. And hey, if it's not right on, I imagine I'm still probably another solid month out before I finish. Because if it takes me anywhere near as amount of time to tape for the orange as it did the black, then I'm at least a solid month out before I can start painting the orange. But we'll see what happens. Again, maybe I'll switch it up. I did order a couple of... I think I'd mentioned that I'd ordered some Mylars of the 5-inch by 25-inch little movie posters that you have. You go to movie theaters and you get that like above... Usually above the door to the theater that you're going to see the movie in. They have the smaller posters that, the 25-inch by 5-inch high, 25 wide by 5-inch. They call them Mylars. And they, have light boxes. And so you can see to which theater you're supposed to go into. And, I thought it'd be cool to put that above the wall, above my sliding glass door in the dining room, because that was another area where I had thought... About possibly, son of a bitch. Fuck. Got me a speech impediment all of a sudden. Anyway, it's been there for years. Let's be real. I had thought about putting that hexagon pattern above there too, because it seemed like an area where it just too much red of just straight red with all over the walls, and it needed something to break it up a little bit. And even if I thought about putting that pattern up there, I thought it'd be cool, which that area would be a lot easier to paint that pattern. Still, though, it'd be a pain in the ass. Honestly, do I really want to paint that? I thought, too, it would be really cool to put, you know, those Mylars above that area. I'm pretty sure I can fit at least four. I got one light box in that I ordered off Etsy. Which those things are fucking expensive, even for the smaller movie posters like that. Full size poster, you buy a frame like that, which are really cool to light up a whole poster like that. But you're talking about even like getting like cheap ones off Amazon. You're looking at a couple hundred bucks for what is a standard poster? Shit, like 36x24, I think. I don't know. Whatever the standard size is, I'm blanking. I think that might be it. I might be pulling that number out of my ass. But you're looking at a couple hundred just for one of those. And just having a light up frame for those smaller ones are still pretty expensive. But I found a cheap-ish one off Etsy that they had 3D printed. And I wasn't real sure how good the quality was, so I just ordered one. But I got it for $100, which is still kind of pricey for, you know, a frame to put a poster in, especially one that small. But man, I really like it. It's, the light in it is pretty bright, and, it's got a dimmer on it. So you can, you know, just put it to whatever, brightness you want it at. And, the frame itself, it comes apart in several pieces, and, it connects via magnets. And so it's super easy to remove the frame, the outer part of the frame, the faceplate, I guess. The faceplate's magnetically attached. So you can easily slip in and out the different Mylars. So if you want to switch it up a little bit, put different movie posters in there from time to time. And that's pretty cool. And the light is super good quality. It'll be a little awkward, I think, running, because they're not battery powered. It's electric. I think what I'm going to end up doing, because of course the cords aren't very long, and I think I'm going to mount a power strip on like the little right above my door. And then plug in all the lights for there. I've just got the one box light box now, frame, whatever. And I think I can fit four up there. Five's probably too many. I think I'll keep it at four. And I'm pretty sure I can mount like a power strip underneath or above the door, underneath where those posters are going to be, and then plug them in there, and then just run, you know, I have to do a measurements and make sure that I know I can get some power strips that have longer power cords, but I have to, you know, I'm going to be very I'll have to really do some measurements to see if I can get one that just has a long enough cord so I don't end up also having to plug it into an extension cord. But I want the cord to be just the right length to where when I mount it, then I can run the cord along the wall in a nice, neat manner, you know, and have it. You know, I don't want, of course, the power cord just hanging from the fucking ceiling. That's not cool. But also, you know, I want to be able to run that cord. The cords for the light, that's going to be a little screwy. And then having those adapters plug in from the ceiling. There's some, you know, I don't know how well that's going to work. I'm hoping they just stay that, you know, I think they'll stay if they're plugged in, you know, they'll hold. But I might have to also, after mounting that power strip, find some way to really fasten those adapters in, but also, you know, you don't want anything that could possibly catch fire. This the power strip, of course, produces heat. I'll just have to, when I'm not using the lights, turn the power strip off, I would think would be the best decision. Or unplug it. Could always do that. Yeah, I think that's going to look pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about how the light looks. I do have the movie posters I'm currently looking at. I did get an Inglourious Basterds one. That is the one that I put in the current light frame. And it looks pretty great in there. And I ordered a Tropic Thunder one, but it got lost in shipping. I contacted the seller, and the seller said they were going to put some tracers on it. And it says that usually gets the ball rolling, them finding, because it made it to like Pennsylvania, I think somewhere in Pennsylvania, and it a week ago, and then just haven't heard any updates since. So hopefully I get that one. I already paid for it. If you do want like movie Mylars, though, I got to say eBay seems to be the place for that. There's a ton of people that sell movie Mylars of the 5x25 inch, which are pretty sweet because you can do like, you know, a bunch of smaller posters, even if you don't do ones that light up. It is a pretty cool thing to have, you know. And let's see here. I did also put bids, which I imagine I'm going to win these bids, but I put one on Howard the Duck and the original Terminator, because I just think that original Terminator just looks good in that movie Mylar. And I mean, it's fucking Howard the Duck. I came close to getting the Explorers, River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke that are in that as children. It's a classic. Let me see here. I will look up here, make sure. The one that seems to have like a lot and the one that I actually got so far was from the seller. Damn it. there's the guy's actual name. I'm trying to look for. Oh, original movie Mylars on eBay. That is the seller. The name of the shop, the seller from eBay. Jason Poland from Mississippi. That's, I guess, the fella that's selling it. But the note he put in with it says he's got a fair amount of them listed on eBay. But he's got over like 35,000 or 45,000. I forgot what the number was. Somewhere in that ballpark. 30 to 40 something thousand. Movie Mylars like that, and in it he said if I don't see what I want on eBay to email him, and then he may or may, you know, there's a good chance he might have the movie one I'm looking for. But I think I'm pretty happy with the ones I've ordered. Again, I imagine I'll probably win the bids. There wasn't a option to just buy it outright on the Howard the Duck or the Terminator one. I'd imagine nobody's going to outbid me, but maybe, you know, maybe somebody really wanted the Howard the Duck or Terminator. We'll see here shortly. I haven't ordered the other frames yet. I could probably do that now, but we'll see. I'll probably do it before the end of the weekend. And I'm not in a real rush to do that. The painting the kitchen is the real thing I'm working on at the moment, so I'm not really too focused on finishing the dining room. I still haven't heard back on the bust of Ash yet. I'm guessing maybe he's already working on it, but making another one, I'm not sure. I haven't heard back from the seller. It could be, I'm thinking it's probably still a couple months out before I can get that. But you know, I think I'm getting somewhat close to like finishing the downstairs. It's like every time I do one thing, I find four more things I'm going to do down there. So I'm trying to just wrap it up. I got shit I got to do upstairs here. I got to finish doing the drywall up in my bedroom in here that I'm recording in, and do some painting in here. That painting, I'm just going to paint the color of the wall that's already there. So I'm hoping that isn't too much of a pain in the ass. Finishing the drywall is the kind of shittier part. Not too excited about that. And I'm just finishing that kitchen will be pretty fantastic. And it'll be great to just get my kitchen back to normal and stop. I, you know, need to cut back on money right now, so I got to stop going out to eat so fucking often. And I have the excuse right now, like, oh, I can't do it, man. Kitchen's all torn apart trying to paint. Once I don't have that as an excuse, I can go back to, like, eating meals like a normal human being. I still use the kitchen. I just, you know, I don't eat the healthiest things. I just do, like, frozen pizzas that I cook in the oven. But, yeah, I think it's going to look pretty great when I finish. You know, it looks pretty decent right now. And then it'll be great to just get the fucking ladder out of my kitchen. Because I've just kept the ladder downstairs now for quite a while. Because I'm constantly climbing up on top to get to the cabinets. And the ladder really gets in the way. It gets in the way. And then I clean all the paint cans and shit off my countertops. That'll be great. Because that shit also gets in the way. And it just looks like a mess there in the kitchen because there's so much junk. And I'm so close to finishing. As sound like I'm jerking off. I'm gonna come. not really. anywho. Yeah, I'm just looking at the picture of the blackness on my wall. And it's like, you can't really see the tape at this point. Which is kind of cool. It's like tone on tone because the paint is covering, of course, pretty much all of the tape. There's some spots where I didn't cover the tape with paint, but it's like tone on tone because the tape is also black, which is kind of a cool effect. It kind of looks cool. I'm not going to leave it that way, though. I am peeling that tape off, damn it. I did have some areas where the paint kind of bubbled up. I think mainly when I was doing the primer. I don't know what I don't know if I just didn't have it, like, stirred up enough. Or, you know, maybe I was using paint that was already a little kind of dried. You know what? I think it was I had a roller. That was all fucked up. That had a little dried paint that I should have just fucking threw away. And I learned the hard way, if I remember correctly. And then I think that's why the paint was a little screwy in some areas. And I probably should have, you know, maybe like sanded that off a little bit and then repainted over it. But, you know, I don't think it's gonna be that noticeable once I get all the colors up there. We'll see. And it kind of looks like shit. It bubbled. That tape looks a little funky after you paint over it a little bit. I'm thinking it's going to look a lot better once I pull the tape off. But again, that is, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. It could look like real shit. Could look like real shit. I did peek under a little bit of the tape, and the areas where I did peek, it looked okay. I did see, you know, a nice white line in the middle. It's coming along. As I think the caffeine's wearing off a little bit, as I've gotten back to another point where it's like I really need to lay off the caffeine, wean myself back off of it, because it's gotten to a point where I'm taking caffeine more and more. And I've been down this road before. It's need to constantly take caffeine so I don't, like, pass out. It's like, I need to just stop taking the shit. But I did have, you know, a Red Bull before I started recording this. And It's wearing off, man. It's wearing off. I did find some time yesterday to watch a little bit of The Boys. I watched the first episode. I'm not sure how many episodes they currently have out of the final season. It's good. It's The Boys. But there's, man, it's a weird one. The Boys, like, there's so much time in between seasons on that. And you can just see such a difference in the actors from having surgery to, you know, I think, you know, the actor, I don't know his name, but he plays Mother's Milk. Pretty sure he was hitting the Ozempic pretty hard. There is a strikingly noticeable difference between him and the last, like, I think it was season 4 that when he came back that had that going on. And it was like, Ozempic man. Anyway, it's pretty noticeable. And you notice when there's, you know, multiple years and stuff and takes like time, you can see aging on people. And it takes me out of it a little bit. Although I guess between season 4 and 5, there's supposed to be a little bit of time, a little bit of a time jump. But it's The Boys, you know. You got the guy with the soup with the massive dick running as a prison guard. That mother, spoiler alert, Mother's Milk strangles to death with his own dick, with the soup's dick, not Mother's Milk's dick, because he's not a soup. Though he is a black gentleman, I feel like he might have a large member. That is the stereotype, you know. I don't know, think he's got one big enough to strangle himself with, but I'm looking forward to, you know, watching more of The Boys. The first episode, you just get a glimpse of Soldier Boy. I know that, you know, Homelander apparently reawakens him. I love me some Soldier Boy. And I'm looking forward to that. Jensen Ackles, which I believe is confirmed to be the next Batman, which will be interesting. I love me some Jensen Ackles. But I love him as Soldier Boy. He is so good as Soldier Boy. I'd rather just have him as Soldier Boy. I don't know that I need him as Batman. Can he just play Batman as Soldier Boy? Soldier Boy's so great. As he's just a dirty version of Captain America. He is. The more, very more real Captain America. Man, I feel like I hurt myself by drinking that Red Bull. I had a decent amount of sleep last night. I probably shouldn't have taken it at all. Whereas, I feel like I would have probably done better without the Red Bull. I don't know. At this point, is it a certain point when you take caffeine so much that it has the opposite reaction of what you're going for, to where it just makes you tired? Because I feel like that's kind of what's going on here. But yeah, The Boys. That's good stuff. And of course, I've been keeping up to date pretty well with the Daredevil. That one, you know, there was a lot more time in between seasons. Of course, they got Daredevil Reborn. There was like, 10 years between that and the previous Daredevil series? So there was a good amount of aging, but I feel like they almost hide it better than in The Boys. But time has gone, like, in that show. Like, is appropriate to how much time went in real life, I guess. But Charlie Cox, Deborah Ann Woll, Vincent D'Onofrio. It's a good show. It's a good show. Good actors. Of course, Charlie Cox did have a cameo as Matt Murdock in She-Hulk, which is, we know, a favorite. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was entertaining. But apparently, most of the world did not think that. I love Tatiana Maslany, who is, of course, on the Comedy Bang Bang Show, the podcast, which she apparently wrote a preface to the Ford by Tatiana Maslany. And she's really funny on the show. Of course, you know, there's so many people that are fantastic on Comedy Bang Bang. like they've got, oh, Bob Odenkirk does a forward on there. I will be seeing Bob Odenkirk later on the big screen. Oh, they got a Bob Duca's to-do list. Man, I love me some Bob Duca. His list, Bob Duca, do it. The list. I have a list on the Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast. I'm not very good at doing a Bob Duca, but holy shit. I love me some Bob Duca. Bob Duca. Back to Mr. Bob Odenkirk, though. I did pull up Normal on the... oh, damn it. clicking on shit. I pulled it up on IMDb. It's got a 6.9 out of 10 stars rating on IMDb. That's somewhat promising, but, you know, I didn't realize all the people that were in this. I knew Lena Headey was in there, but, of course, Bob Odenkirk is Ulysses Richardson. Quite the name. But Henry Winkler. I did not realize Henry Winkler was in there. That's pretty cool. The Fonz, who, you know, it did come to my attention recently that he almost looks like, his older self looks kind of Jeffrey Epstein-ish. Or should I say Epstein looked kind of like Henry, like a Timu version of Henry Winkler. We'll say that. Anyway, from the creator, the Normals, from the creator of John Wick and Nobody, which it should be noted that, you know, Nobody, the action film series, there's two films, starring Mr. Bob Odenkirk, he got in like the best shape of his life as he's like in his, is he in his 60s now? Late 50s, early 60s ish, somewhere around there, I would guesstimate Bob Odenkirk to be. But he got, you know, into some really great shape for Nobody. And he famously had a heart attack. And around that period of the time, they were also filming the last season of Better Call Saul. And the doctor said what really saved him from that was how good a shape he was in for getting into Nobody. So, you know, that's some pretty awesome stuff. I'd love me some Bob Odenkirk, and to know that he's still going to be around for a while, and that he's keeping himself healthy, even though he's, you know, run into some unfortunate heart problems, obviously. But here's the plot for Normal. Centers on a temporary small-town sheriff who uncovers dark mysteries after a local bank robbery. Normal is a neo-Western thriller that stars Bob Odenkirk as Ulysses, an unassuming substitute sheriff assigned to the quiet Midwestern town of Normal. Seeking a temporary escape from personal and professional turmoil, Ulysses instead finds himself drawn into a crisis when a botched bank robbery exposes a dangerous secret beneath the town's calm exterior. As tensions escalate, and boy do they escalate, he is forced to confront his troubled past and the true nature of the community he has been tasked with protecting. So it's sort of a Nobody situation. Nobody, of course, was... he was former, what is it, CIA? I don't remember what sort. You know, he's basically a secret agent, or formerly was. And he's quite the, he's quite an assassin, but he's just a mild manner. I forgot what his, like, day job is, where he's, I guess, in retirement and hiding during Nobody. But his family thinks that he's, you know, not a violent person at all. And then it turns out he's just this fucking, can just murder you. Like, no problem. He is, you know, a total badass. So I guess not quite the same scenario, whereas normal he is like a substitute sheriff. But I'm going to guess it probably turns out he's somewhat of a badass. But it's Bob Odenkirk, man. Mr. Show. He, of course, like before Mr. Show, he was a writer on SNL during the Chris Farley era. And, you know, he started out in, of course, a career in comedy. Then came a little thing called Breaking Bad, where he won the role as one Saul Goodman. Saul Goodman. And, you know, then the legend of Bob Odenkirk just got larger as he would go on to reprise that role as Saul Goodman for the show Saul Goodman, Better Call Saul. And which I guess his name is actually Jimmy in the show, but he creates this alter ego, Saul Goodman. And just love me some, you know, Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. And El Camino. Anyway. I am really surprised at how tired I am. Maybe it's from the breathing and the paint fumes. The paint fumes may also be making me more tired. I think I got some sleep last night. Maybe I didn't sleep as much as I think I did. I'm kind of thinking back. Perhaps that was probably more of the problem, is I just didn't sleep enough. It was really late that I fucking finally went to sleep. And then I think it was just kind of in and out of consciousness while I was asleep, and that it wasn't like a full-on just good night's sleep. Probably also because, you know, I did have a Red Bull last night after I got off work. Because I wanted to really fight through. And I've just got too much caffeine in my system at all times. I really need to wean back. Cut it back. But I got shit to do later. I got more painting to do. I'm gonna have to hit something. I might have to go full bore. I might have to go like 5-hour energy. As I do have, it's a bit of a drive to Wildwood. And I have problems driving long distance while I'm tired, so I'm going to have to hit some more caffeine on the way out there. Now, I don't also want to fall asleep in the movie theater. That's not going to be any fun. That'll not be good. So I guess I'm going to really have to hit the caffeine hard this weekend, and maybe I can lay off a little bit during the week. Sleep would probably be my best option, but I don't know when that's going to happen. Again, I'm still working on painting shit and whatnot. One of these days, I might have a week or two where I'm not painting or working on something at the house. But it seems to be never ending at the moment. Never. It's the never-ending story. Which I'm having flashbacks of Stranger Things now, where they're singing that. Dustin, of course, is singing it to his girlfriend over the radio as she makes him do it. Which is fantastic cinema right there, watching him do that. Is watching Mr. Fox here clean himself. I'm not seeing him clean the paw, though, that is covered in paint. I wish I would have gotten all of it off, but he did have a little bit of black on the one paw. I didn't see him track it anywhere. I seem to have dried it enough. He was not happy that I went on to, of course, try to get that off his paw. And there was something else I was going to talk about, but I was going to mention it's sad to see the end of the Blues season. Of course, you know, the last week they were knocked out of the playoffs by the Kings winning, which they really would have needed at that point. They would have needed the Kings to lose out the rest of the season for them to get a shot at the playoffs. So, I mean, it was... you know, is what it is. But hey, man, Robert Thomas really lit it up the end of the season. He got a hat trick 2 times in a month. So excited to see that. I think they got to make him the captain for next season. As you know, he's one of the few remaining cup champs. They were hinting around it, like trading him near the trade deadline, which I think is just fucking bad. Bad idea, man. He has led the team in points now, what, for a few seasons. And he's still young. He's like 26, maybe 27. I think the question with Robert Thomas is more of can he stay healthy for a full season, which has been an issue. But when he's out on the ice, and especially this, you know, last like month or so, that top line, Snuggerud, Dylan Holloway, and Robert Thomas just have been phenomenal. You got to keep those guys together. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the team. You know, I've heard rumors that I believe was it Brady Tkachuk? I get the two, Matthew and him, confused, but Brady, I think, is the one that plays for the Ottawa Senators. I've heard apparently them talking about it on the Fast Lane, 101 ESPN, that there is chatter that maybe they make a play to try to get Brady Tkachuk on the team, because apparently he would like to leave Canada, or Ottawa, at least. And, you know, Keith Tkachuk, their father, played in St. Louis, you know, for quite a few seasons, I believe. So, of course, they lived for some time in St. Louis. And so it would seem like a natural fit as far as that goes. I would imagine, I'm not sure if Tkachuk has got what his contract is currently like. But if it's a free agent deal, I think they'd have to trade for him. I think he's still under contract. I could be wrong. But if they go for a trade, I'm not sure who they're going to be able to trade for him. I mean, I feel like Jordan Kyrou's probably going to be traded. It doesn't seem that him and Monty really see eye to eye. There was, you know, a few times where Monty sat him with him being a healthy scratch. And, you know, he's not had his season was not a great one. He is consistently for the last, three previous seasons, like scored over 30 goals. And, you know, he produced somewhat. He's had, I want to say, like 17, 18 goals in a somewhat shorter season. And, you know, I like me some Jordan Kyrou. But I feel like him and Monty just don't, like, there's some friction outside of, I just don't think I feel like there's a good chance he's getting traded. You know, possibly Buchnevich. I feel like Kyrou would probably be more of a trade. Like, that people would probably want him more than Buchnevich. But I think Buchnevich had, like, more points than Kyrou. I think I think Bucci is, like, second on the team in assists, if I'm not mistaken. Buchnevich also, don't think hit 20 goals. He was like right up there, about 19-ish goals, maybe 20. I love me some Buchnevich, though. Buchnevich! I'm imagining, though, like, that, you know, it's possible we could see like a trade with Jordan Binnington, a Kyrou, maybe Buchnevich or something. And for that, you know, maybe a pick of some sort for you know, maybe that's how they get like a Brady Tkachuk or something like that. Because you're going to need. But again, you know, Binnington had a rough season. He's, you know, getting older. Can he still be the starting goalie, like main goalie? I love Bennington, and they better build a fucking statue for him once he's retired in front of the Enterprise Center. He better have a fucking statue out there because that is the man that gave us a fucking cup. Obviously, that team was pretty fucking amazing. That whole team from top to bottom was an amazing team to go from last to first, but he was the catalyst that really started to turn things around for him. Because when he got pulled up and do I look nervous? You know, he was just a man of ice. That season, we won the cup. And for that alone, for that season alone, like, that is the Blues fans waited since 1967 for them to finally hoist that cup. You know, it took a long fucking time. And the whole story about him even coming up, he basically gave the ultimatum. Like, he wanted, at that point, he was, what, 26, 27? The whole story, I mean, it's just crazy. And just looking back, I didn't realize until fairly recently that Laura Branigan, that did, of course, the song Gloria that was played during that season every time they won the game, I didn't realize, which maybe I had heard it before, but that the last time she performed that song live in concert was at Boston Garden, where the Blues would go on to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that is, I don't think any of the Blues players were aware of that fact when they decided to play that song after each win, which they were just drinking at a bar, which there was some like minor league team of some sort that did that, and they were like, oh, that's pretty fucking awesome, and they just started doing that. And, oh, man. I don't see how you, like, pick anybody other than Thomas to be captain. No, sure, there's other great guys on the team, like Jake Neighbors. There's been talk of, like, oh, Neighbors should be the captain, which I love me some Jake Neighbors, and he plays like somebody that should be a captain, but I think you, at this point, you got to give it to Thomas. I mean, he's from that cup team. As of right now, when the season starts, I feel like we're going to probably lose a few more from that cup team. But you got Thomas, you got Pareko, Bennington, Sonny left on the team for the cup team. With Schenner out the door. Fabry, you know, had come back briefly, but he's gone, I believe, already. So, I mean, Sonny, there's a good chance Sonny and Bennington will be gone next season. So you're left with Pareko, which they tried to trade Pareko, but he had a no-trade clause, I guess, and was like, no, I don't want to take this trade. I want to stay a Blue, which... Maybe during the offseason they find some place for him to go that he is for. And, you know, it will be hard for him to pass up. So, I mean, we could potentially... Thomas could be the last guy here soon from that Stanley Cup team. That's crazy to think. But, like, you got to have people that were there. At least, man, as long as you can. Have people that, you know... were there for that cup run. It's like, shit. I mean, they got rid of a lot of those guys pretty quickly after the cup team, or after we won the cup. It was... Petrangelo was gone real fast after that. Then Ryan O'Reilly, you know, didn't last a whole lot longer. Tarasenko, which I really wasn't surprised at the Tarasenko bit, because fans had really turned on him. Which is a shame, you know. Tarasenko was, you know, he was, as Jeff Burton put it, I think he called him Russian hockey Jesus or something he used to call him. I can't remember. It's been a minute. But, it's bittersweet seeing the end of the season. Hockey season goes on so long, you know, like it's not gone for very long. And we do have, you know, it could be a very interesting playoffs. You know, you got Edmonton is back in it. Florida Panthers are not. So you won't see them get yet another cup. Connor McDavid has managed to get back into the playoffs. And, you know, he was at the last two Stanley Cup finals. Can he turn it on for the playoffs and make this the season that Edmonton finally gets the cup again since, what, like Wayne Gretzky was a... Grain. Damn it. Dwayne Gretzky. anyway, like, I think it was since Gretzky was on the team or whatever. It's been like since, you know, like the 90s, the early 90s since the Oilers won. Or since I think any Canada team has won. But I mean, the Oilers have, they don't have the greatest record. Colorado right now has like been the hottest team in the NHL, but usually the team that wins the President's Cup, often they're out in the first or second round of the playoffs. Because you really need a team that's seen some adversity during the, you know, the regular season and that, you know, has consistently been there, you know, to the postseason. And, you know, can, it's really an endurance thing. And have Colorado really been challenged that much during the regular season? It's only way to find that out is to play those games, I guess. But I was really hoping that if the Blues didn't make it, that the Sharks would get that final wild card spot, not the LA Kings. Macklin Celebrini is, holy shit, he is something else. At 19, scoring, what is it, 115 points in a season? That is fucking insane. That is numbers that have only been put up by, like, what, maybe five or six people in total in NHL history. Two of those being Mario Lemieux, Super fucking Mario, and Wayne Gretzky. They put up that kind of numbers as a teenager. So I remember the thing being. And that being 100 points or more in a season. And that's pretty big names to be in conversation with. I'm pretty excited to see what, like, Celebrini is going to do. I imagine that's definitely somebody that will probably never play for the Blues. I'm thinking if San Jose has any wits about them, that he's going to be a franchise player for life. He's going to be a Sidney Crosby for them. You know, he will never, I would imagine, put on any other jersey unless something goes wrong at some point. You know, if he sees some real serious injuries and his play just greatly diminishes. But I was watching stuff on Celebrini's family, and his dad was a soccer player in Canada that would go on after retiring from soccer, that would get into like sports science and work for several, I believe, different teams. But he worked for the Golden State Warriors basketball team. Grew the whole family there has grown up playing like sports. Other brothers, he's got like two or three other brothers that are also involved in hockey. One is playing for, I think, Boston University at the moment, that I believe is older than Macklin. Forgot his brother's names, but well, I think the younger one is CJ, but he's only like 13, 14, but already is just fucking insanely good for like a 13, 14-year-old. But his older brother is a defenseman, and that family is just grown up with sports science, like from the day that they started walking. Like they were training like elite athletes, and it seems that they just love playing sports. And so it's like that family is going to be something else. I think the Kachuk brothers might want to hold, you know, step back a little bit, because the Celebrinis are, they look like legit. Like, this is going to be quite the dynasty of, then, you know, I don't know. Time will tell, but it looks like Macklin Celebrini is something really special. But right now, I think, as far as like top level elite players in the NHL, like, I mean, Connor McDavid is the guy to beat right now. But it's like, the question is going to be, is their defense going to be able to hold up? Can the Oilers mount some kind of special defense to be able to take on some of these teams that are also in the NHL playoffs? I, you know, as far as outside the Blues, you know, I've always enjoyed like the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Ducks and just birds in general. But I like seeing the Ducks and the Penguins in it, you know, because back in the day, you know, outside the Blues, I mean, holy shit, Super Mario Lemieux, you know, and seeing him on the Penguins, I mean, that was a special thing. And he purposely, you know, put his number as 66 to be like the inverted number of 99, you know, of Gretzky. And shit, man. That was some special stuff to watch it, and the whole story of, you know, him and the cancer. Lemieux was something amazing to see. And of course, Jaromir Jagr and him together were an amazing team. I'm looking for, I don't know that I'll watch a whole lot of the NHL playoffs, but I'm quite interested to see what's going to happen. ESPN app. Let's look at the playoff bracket. You got the Kings taking on the Avalanche. I don't see the Kings taking out the Avalanche, but you know, you never know. I would imagine the Avalanche, at least, you know, there's a good chance they're going to run through everybody, but at least through the West. You got some really good teams, though. I mean, the Stars, who I thought would have beat Edmonton last year. I thought the Stars were going to be the team that went out of the West. Mikko Rantanen was like, before they went into and played against Edmonton, like he was just lighting it up. And I did get to watch the Stars last season play the Blues. And so, I mean, I thought they were a team to be reckoned with, but you know, the Oilers took them down. You got in the Western Conference, Avalanche versus Kings, Stars versus the Minnesota Wild. Wild's a really good team too. That could be a real close series. Minnesota versus Dallas. I assume Dallas is going to take that series, but Minnesota's pretty solid. And then you got, the Golden Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights, taking on the Utah Mammoth. And then Oilers versus Ducks. Ducks are no joke too, but man, I'm going to guess the Oilers probably taking it. And I feel like really the Oilers are really the team that could go all the way again. And it's like, I just feel like Connor McDavid is going to, like, if the Oilers really shit the bed and don't, you know, if they get just destroyed, does Connor McDavid try to, you know, does he try to go to another team after this? That is a big question. 'Cause he's a guy that wants to win. And, their defense has been the thing that's really nagged them. A lot of that is at the goaltending side of things. Anyway, Eastern Conference, you got the Sabres and the versus the Bruins, Lightning versus the Canadiens, Hurricanes versus the Senators. So that, you know, there's still one Kachuk brother. And well, you know what? Yeah, I was talking about Kachuk possibly, you know, making a trade to go to the Blues. I mean, if they advance far into the playoffs, is he really going to want to leave Ottawa? And the Penguins versus the Flyers. Man, I would like to see the Penguins go to the Cup. That would be fucking great. Get Sidney Crosby one more go around here. The Eastern Conference, I don't know. The West has really got some shit, you know, with the Colorado and Stars. It's really, man, it's, I don't know. It could get really interesting. It could get very interesting. Again, I am pretty sad that Macklin Celebrini not in it. I would have liked to have seen what he could do in the playoffs. But, you know, he's like 19. I'm sure we're going to see plenty of him in the future. It seems unlikely that, you know, he's just going to fade away. anywho, yeah. Shit, man, the West has got some. 121 points for the Colorado Avalanche, man. That is the team to beat right there. It's gonna be tough to beat them, but again, the President's Trophy winners, man, they don't tend to do so hot. It's kind of a thing. Kind of a thing that happens. I guess, you know, the Eastern Conference has got more teams over 100 points-ish. Oh, there's some stout teams, though. I need to hurry up because I do need to get another coat of paint on the wall, or at least determine whether or not I need one. I'm thinking I have to at least get one more coat up there and shower. Get ready for normal. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.